Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the Raiders have re-signed a couple of their own, plus been awarded a couple more draft picks to make them a little bit more flexible in April's draft. We'll talk about draft-eligible quarterbacks and who I can see fitting in with the Raiders and why, plus your calls and texts to close out the show. It's all coming up on Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, March 10th, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. My man Ari does a great job each and every day making sure we're up on YouTube, looking good, sounding good, and again, just make sure that we're consistently up there on YouTube. You can check Ari out on Twitter at Ari Produces, and I definitely appreciate him. Got a lot to get to on today's show as we close out the week really strong, head into the weekend, and then by the time we talk again next week, it's going to be knocking on the door of the free agent tampering period opening up on Monday, and then of course free agency actually opens up official on March 15th, so right around the corner for that. But right now, let's go ahead and get into some news and notes here in segment number one. And off top, the Raiders re-signed a couple of their own free agents on Thursday. Amir Abdullah was the first guy reported that re-signed a one-year deal with the Silver and Black. Of course, he was a running back that really did a lot on special teams and, of course, caught the ball out of the backfield as well in 2022 for the Raiders. He's a guy that grew up a Raider fan. Actually talked to him as the Raiders were having their exit interviews and exit locker room access right when the season got wrapped up. Myself and Vinny asked him if he wanted to return to the Raiders, and he said, yeah, I grew up a Raider fan, would love to be a Raider, but it has to make sense. Well, on Thursday, he agreed to a one-year deal with the Silver and Black, so clearly it makes sense. And selfishly, I'm excited that Amir Abdullah comes back because all of last year, maybe not all of last year, but for a majority of last year, I kept saying, Amir Abdullah is close to breaking one. Amir Abdullah is close to breaking one. He's going to take one to the house. The Raiders have not had a kickoff return touchdown since Jacoby Ford did it. That's been a very, very long time. Dwayne Harris did it by way of punt return against the Denver Broncos, that 98 yards or 99 yards, whatever that was back in Oakland. But as far as kick return, not since Jacoby Ford. I believe Amir Abdullah last season was very close to returning one. I even asked him about it at the end of the season when we were in the locker room with him, and he said, man, we were. Really, it was on him. He said, it was on me. The blocking was there. I just didn't hit the hole at the right time, but he said it was right there, and I do feel like we're close to breaking one. So now that he signed a one-year deal, one-year contract extension, now he'll at least have that opportunity as long as he gets through training camp and preseason, makes the 53-man roster. He'll have that opportunity to prove me right that he's going to bring one to the house. So as long as he's on the 53-man roster, please believe all next season I'm going to be saying Amir Abdullah is going to bring one to the house. Now, hopefully maybe he brings a couple to the house and we could talk about it in a major way. But I do believe, like I said, last season he was getting close. It looked like he was ready to break it. And it was just one step here, one step there, or one tackle here, one tackle there. And he would take it to the house, but wasn't able to happen in 2022. We'll see if he can do it in 2023. So he comes back on a one-year deal. Not a huge deal, not a big-time priority as far as I'm concerned. There was a couple guys that I'd look at as priorities that I felt like the Raiders should probably re-sign before free agency opens up. Amir Abdullah was not one of them, but he's not a get-bad guy to have. Again, special teams, catching the ball in the backfield, does a really good job with that. Also, Netani Muti, the guard, they re-signed him as well on Thursday. He's 6'3", 315-pound offensive lineman, fifth year in the league. And matter of fact, he joined the Raiders in week 15 last season, originally selected by the Broncos in the sixth round in 2020. He's appeared in 20 career games with four starts, at least has depth on the offensive line. I don't know if Muti is going to be a guy that's going to be able to, you know, play and be a starter or whatever, but we know that the offensive line needs some work. And I don't know who's actually going to end up being the five starters. They ended up coming together and doing a really good job, at least as far as run blocking goes in 2022, helping Josh Jacobs lead the league in rushing. But you know that position has to be addressed. I think that there's a hole at the right tackle position, as there's been a hole at the right tackle position for a very long time. I'm not sure what they plan on doing, if they're going to move Dylan Parham to the center spot, if they're going to move on from Andre James, if they're going to keep Parham at the left guard position. You know that there's some spots that could be filled. Hell, they could move Colton Miller over to the right side and find a left tackle of the future. I mean, there's a lot of different things that could go into what the Raiders do with the offensive line, but I don't think bringing bringing in and having extra depth on the offensive line is going to be a bad thing. That's something that I felt like they failed to do in 2022 in the offseason, in training camp and preseason. They should have brought multiple guys in and really worked them out and figured out the guys, the five that fit the best heading into the season, instead of finding the five that fit the best like halfway through the season. So we'll see what happens. But Netani Muti has re-signed with the Silver and Black on a one-year deal, similar to Amir Abdullah. So those are the two signings that the Raiders had on Thursday. Also, the compensatory picks were awarded on Thursday as well. And a lot of people just hear compensatory picks and realize, okay, the team has some more draft picks, so when they come up in April, they'll be able to select a couple more times. But a lot of people don't know how the NFL comes up with the compensatory. So let me go ahead and read this to you. Under the rules for compensatory draft selections, a team losing more or better compensatory free agents than it acquires in the previous year is eligible to receive compensatory draft picks. The compensatory picks will be positioned within the third through the seventh rounds based on the value of the compensatory free agents lost. Compensatory free agents are determined by a formula based on salary, playing time, and postseason honors. The formula was developed by the NFL Management Council. Not every free agent lost or signed by a club is covered by this formula. Clubs that suffer a net loss of the compensatory free agents during the prior free agent signing period are eligible to receive a corresponding number of compensatory selections. In addition, a club that lost the same number of CFAs that it gained, no net loss, may be eligible to receive a selection at the end of the round seven based on the value of the CFAs lost versus the value of the CFAs gained. No club may receive more than four compensatory picks in any one year. If a club qualifies for more than four compensatory picks after offsetting each CFA lost by each CFA gained of an equal or higher value, the four highest remaining selections will be awarded to the club. So that was a lot right there, right? That was a lot to unpack as far as the formula. But a lot of people ask me all the time, like, Q, well, how do they come up with it? So I thought it was important to go ahead and just let you know how they come up with it. So the Raiders were given two compensatory picks, and I actually have them what numbers they're going to be selecting. They're going to be in the fifth round, pick number 40, which is 174 overall, and then in the sixth round, pick number 37, which is 214 overall, which makes their total go all the way to 11. Now, again, you're probably wondering, well, based off that formula that you just read us, the kind of confusing formula, what does that mean? Well, what it means is this. The Raiders lost Brandon Faison, Casey Hayward, Quentin Jefferson, Zay Jones, Marcus Mariota, and Nicholas Morrow, and they gained Anthony Averett, Mac Hollins, Chandler Jones, and Bilal Nichols. So that was it. So what they lost was bigger than what they gained and more valuable than what they gained. And really, the only one that was a big-time gain for the Raiders was Chandler Jones. And, well, we see he didn't really do a whole lot. So long story short, the Raiders received two compensatory picks based off that formula and now are up to 11 draft picks upcoming in the April draft. And that is big, in my opinion. Matter of fact, that is huge because you don't really need 11 guys drafted. 11 guys aren't going to make the 53-man roster, right? But it gives you an opportunity. If you're in round three or round four and you say, well, I see this guy that's starting to drop, but I want to go target this guy, it gives them more draft capital to be able to move and shake, right? They're able to navigate around the board a little bit more, a lot more, as a matter of fact, than they were able to do a year ago when they had a limited amount of draft capital. So that is a big deal. I don't know if they're going to start making trades in the first round, second round, wherever they're going to start making some trades, but we saw Dave Ziegler go up. We saw Dave Ziegler go back in 2022's draft. So I do expect to see similar things, but they have more draft capital to work with. So the Raiders really could, as much as we're talking about, there's a lot of holes on this team, especially on the defensive side of things, they really could go into the draft and kill it and really score and have one of those, you know, like franchise changing drafts. I'm not saying they will, but they have the ammunition to be able to do that. So I think that those compensatory picks, being able to pick up a couple of those is a really good thing. And it's not very often. I mean, when's the last time the Raiders really picked up compensatory picks? It's very rare that they do get those compensatory picks. So I'm glad to see that. And that also lets you know that they're not trying to build the team through free agency, which is what the Raiders have been doing under the previous staff for years on top of years, because they were trying to get it right. They were trying to bring in as many free agents as possible. This staff is not trying to do that. They really legitimately are trying to build this through the draft. So hopefully that's what they're able to do. That's all I got for you for segment number one in today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes of the day as we're heading into the weekend. Coming up in segment number two, I want to talk about some of the draft eligible quarterbacks. We've been talking about them a lot, but I had a conversation with Ted Wynn from The Athletic on my radio show on Thursday, and he brought something to my attention that really intrigued me. So I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about it in segment number two after I tell you about Built Bar. We've been talking about Built Bar for a very long time, and Of course, there's a lot of great flavors to choose from. Very low in calories, high in protein, low in sugar, great in taste. And they always have so many different flavors to choose from, including limited edition mint brownie puffs. And whenever I say that there's a limited edition flavor, you've got to be able to go get on it immediately because it'll be gone quick, fast, in a hurry. Like, it's here right now. It may be gone in a, you know, in a day or two, right? Because people jump onto the website, built.com, and they just flood it. They order so many quick, fast, in a hurry that they're gone. But you don't have to get the limited time flavor. There's so many different ones to choose from. And that's a good thing about Built Bar. There's so many different flavors, so many different styles. There's something for everyone. They even have granola bars. So if you want a granola bar, if you want a chocolate bar, if you want a chocolate bar with a marshmallow in it, they've got all those different styles covered. You can build your own box. They got the mixed boxes. You can go into Sam's Club. You can go into Smith's if you're in the Las Vegas area. You can buy your own box there. There's so many different options for you. But basically, bottom line, you want to get your hands on a really good tasting protein bar, something that's good for you, something that you could take with you wherever you go, and you don't feel bad later because you're eating a candy bar. Instead, again, you're getting your protein on, you're getting your, you know, your good nutrition in you, and it tastes great at the same time. Check them out today, built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15 if you want to save 15% off your order when you go to check out. Again, built.com, promo code LOCKEDON15.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about some of the draft eligible quarterbacks. And of course, we're talking about the ones in the first round. There's a lot of conversation about what direction the Raiders will go if they go in any direction. I don't think that the Raiders are going to force the issue. Not saying that they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. I just don't think they're going to get desperate and really go out of their way to do something drastic to go get the quarterback. They may trade up a little bit. They may trade back a little bit, but I don't think they're going to get crazy. I don't think they're going to go like 7-1. Just to ensure that they get their guy. But with that being said, we know who the four or five guys that potentially could go in the first round. We know Bryce Young's going to go first round. We know C.J. Stroud's going to go first round. Will Levis is going to go first round. Anthony Richardson's going to go first round. And Hendon Hooker could go first round. So those are the five guys that I'm really focused in on. Now, they might end up going and getting a guy in round two, round three, whatever the case may be. And hell, Hendon Hooker may fall to round two for all we know. But I had Ted Wynn from The Athletic on my radio show on Thursday. He put out a great piece in The Athletic Talk. Said, Anthony Richardson versus Will Levis, which quarterback is worth the risk in 2023's NFL draft? And so what he was basically saying is both guys are flawed. Neither one of them are perfect, but they both have high ceilings, and it really is up to the coaching staff to be able to get the most out of them. So as it stands right now, if the Raiders were going to have their pick of the litter when it comes to the quarterbacks in the first round, I'm team C.J. Stroud all day, right? C.J. Stroud, number one, no doubt about it, followed by Bryce Young, followed by Anthony Richardson, followed by Will Levis. And I don't know what the Raiders prefer. I don't know who they prefer. There's been a lot of people, even Dane Brugler on The Athletic, who have mocked Will Levis to the Raiders. And I know a lot of people are very high on Will Levis out of Kentucky. He might be the guy. Everyone says he's got the intellect to be able to, pick up a Josh McDaniels offense, and that could really help him out. There are some things that he did in 2022 that weren't great on the field, but there was a lot of reasons for that. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but, you know, bad offensive line, not very many weapons, offensive coordinator, he loses. I mean, there was a lot. He was injured. There was a whole lot that, you know, played into the fact why he wasn't so good. For me, he's not my guy, but that's okay. It's not really about me. But there was something Ted said while he was comparing and contrasting Anthony Richardson and Will Levis that really caught my attention and really intrigued me, because as we all keep hearing that there's a veteran quarterback that the Raiders, you know, could be potentially signing in Jimmy G. And anyone who's listened to me knows I'm not high on Jimmy G. I really would love for the Raiders to pass on him. I hope he goes anywhere. There's rumors and reports that he could end up in Houston. I hope he ends up there. But there are reports, and of course you could tie Jimmy G to Josh McDaniels and understand why that could be, you know, that could end up being a fit. And again, it's crazy because Jimmy G, to this point of his career, I feel like he's just a bridge guy no matter where he goes. If it's Houston, if it's the Raiders, if he's end up in Carolina, wherever it is, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be the full-time starter. He's just going to be there for, you know, the meantime, in between time, until some young guy can take over. But just say the Raiders go some veteran route and they decide, okay, we're going to sign Jimmy G, or we're going to sign just Jarrett Stidham and roll with him and then draft a rookie. Again, like I said, I would like C.J. Stroud, number one. That would be my first option, and let him go to camp, and whenever he's ready to take over, great. But this was intriguing to me, and this is why. Ted said that Anthony Richardson could end up being a guy because he doesn't have very much experience, only 13 starts in his college career. And that is, to me, it's like, okay, he needs to get some experience. So that's where this really came from. I was like, all right, well, how do you get him on the field? You know, how do you help him learn, sit behind a veteran, but then at the same time, give him some burn on the field so he can get some experience? And all of a sudden, he started talking about packages. And when he started talking about packages, I started thinking about what the 49ers did when they had Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith. And Alex Smith would be the starting quarterback, and then Cap would come in. And when Cap went into the game, he said, okay, well, you know the guy's going to run the ball. You know he's got that opportunity. But then he also had a strong arm and could throw the rock. All of a sudden, I started visioning Anthony Richardson in that role, similar to what the Marcus Mariota package that we all thought was going to happen when he signed with the Raiders and backed up Derek Carr. We thought, okay, there's going to be moments where he's going to be able to come into the game, run the ball. He's got the threat to throw the ball. Oh, this could be something. This could be a nice little, you know, extra added weapon to the offense. And it never really materialized to that because Marcus Mariota was always injured. But I started thinking about Anthony Richardson and even just say Jarrett Stidham, because I'm not trying to wish Jimmy G on me or anyone else, right? I don't want to even try to, what are they saying in Talladega Nights? Don't you wish that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, right? That's, so I'm not going to even keep bringing up Jimmy G's name because I don't want to put that on me or anyone else. But just say it's Jarrett Stidham is the starting quarterback in 2023. And there's a chance that that could be what happens. And say they end up, you know, CJ Stroud's already gone, Bryce Young's already gone. And they said, you know what, we'll take a chance on Anthony Richardson. He's got, you know, he's very raw. He's got a lot to grow. He's got a lot of growth that he has to do. But, you know, maybe we could sprinkle him into the game day package. Maybe have a handful of plays here and there for him. How intrigued would you be by that? I think that that would be exciting, right? And I think that that would get the fan base fired up as well. Not that it's just about firing up the fan base, but could you imagine seeing all of a sudden Anthony Richardson trotting in off the sideline and realizing, oh, damn, here we go. It's going to be something. And you either see a fantastic run, you see a pass, you see, you know what I mean? Like you see an other weapon added to the Raiders offense. And so I started having visions of Cap with the 49ers and what that looked like on their run to the Super Bowl when they eventually lost to Baltimore in New Orleans. That was a hell of a run. And I've said it. I said it then. I'll say it now. They don't make it to the Super Bowl if it wasn't for the contributions that Kaepernick had, especially in that playoff game against Green Bay, where he literally beat Green Bay by himself and mainly with his legs. I would love to see that as a weapon. And Ted brought up the point that he feels like Josh McDaniels has always wanted his mobile quarterback, a guy that could be, you know, a dual threat like Anthony Richardson is with a strong arm. But again, it's going to take a lot of coaching to get him up to speed. But if you could see him on the regular in games, that would be fun, right? I would be intrigued just to see the development, just to start to see. And again, I go back to Cap. What you saw from Cap, right? He was that guy that he'd go in there for a handful of plays. He every once in a while would throw the ball. And at some point, Jim Harbaugh said, all right, it's time to turn the offense over to Cap. We're good. And then you saw what he was. And he was good for a while. And I know that that while didn't last a whole long time. So that could be a concern when you're thinking about Anthony Richardson. But what's his ceiling? If his ceiling is anything close to, you know, I'm not going to say Cam Newton, because Cam Newton was an outstanding quarterback in college and led Auburn to a national championship basically on his own. So I'm not going to put Anthony Richardson in that category, but he's got the size and the athleticism of a Cam Newton. He just doesn't have the polished play of a Cam Newton. But could you imagine if at some point they ride maybe a Jarrett Stidham for a year, maybe even a year and a half, but they have this package or two with Anthony Richardson and he's in the game consistently? You know, those two guys active on game day, I would totally be down for that, right? I mean, and again, I'm almost convincing myself because I feel like CJ Stroud and Bryce Young are both going to be gone by 7, and the Raiders to trade up are going to have to really give up some draft capital that I'm not really intrigued on giving up that draft capital if it's too much, especially if it's, you know, takes away from their first round pick in 2024. You know, I really wouldn't want them to have to do that. So if they could stay pat and get Anthony Richardson, and that, you know what? They might not be able to get him at 7. By what he did at the combine, someone might trade up and go get him earlier than that. So he might not even be on the board. But again, just in the sake of conversation that we've been having, we've really kind of overturned or turned over every stone as we continue to go on with this quarterback situation with the Raiders, because they can go in so many different directions. So I just want to kind of let you stew on that over the weekend and see what you think about that. Could that be a possibility where the Raiders add a veteran, whoever that veteran is, have Jarrett Stidham on the roster? I do believe that they sign him next week sometime. And then draft a guy like Anthony Richardson and make sure that you have a package for him so you get him acclimated to playing in the NFL and the speed of the NFL, but you don't just throw him into the fire and say, all right, kid, It's either sink or swim, right? So you don't set him up for failure, but you kind of gradually put him into the mix. I don't think that that would be that bad of an idea. But what says you? 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Matter of fact, your calls and texts are coming up next. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raider podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Jacob in Fresno. He's calling out the 559, calling to talk about who or what type of quarterback he believes head coach Josh McDaniels is going to be looking for. Here he is, Jacob in Fresno.
Hey, Q. Jacob in Fresno here. I'm just listening to your podcast this morning. And I started really thinking about what kind of Josh McDaniels probably might be looking for or going for, especially after, you know, kind of seeing the landscape and hearing reports that we're not going to pursue Lamar Jackson, and even earlier with Dave Ziegler kind of saying that they might not, the Raider fans might not like the quarterbacks that we're kind of interested in looking at. But I think that Josh McDaniels is going to kind of look for a yes-man quarterback or a yes-sir quarterback, meaning, and not, it's not going to be bad, but he's looking for somebody that's going to follow his game plan and look for somebody that's going to stick to what the script entails and what he has game planning for. Now, that could either be good or bad, but, and as far as I'm thinking about all the first-round possible QBs, I don't necessarily know, and I might be wrong, but I don't necessarily know if any of the first-round QBs kind of fit that mold, because if you're a first-round QB, you're kind of expected to start and showcase what you can do, and a lot of those guys who are having the first-round QB mentality might say, I'm just going to kind of wing it, and I don't think that he really wants a wing-it kind of quarterback. He wants a one that's follow the script, you know. Then you kind of start looking at maybe later on in the draft, the Tanner McGee's, the Jacob Hainer's, even the Stetson Bennett's, which, you know, Stetson Bennett's probably a perfect example of kind of follow the script and stick with the offense, especially because our defense will get you there and eventually in the end. So we'll see what happens, but I just have that feeling that that's what they're going to kind of look for, is especially after what Rich Gannon said, that we're going to look for somebody maybe second or third round. Have a good one.
Thank you for the call, my man. I appreciate you. And I don't really know what a yes man type guy is in the NFL. I'm not too sure what that is. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the previous quarterback, Derek Carr, he said that he wanted to please the quarterback or the coach and throw the ball where they wanted him to go. So I guess maybe that's kind of the order and the direction that you're going, but I'm not too sure because obviously that didn't work out. So I'm not too sure really how to answer that or what quarterback that would be, right? I don't see a guy, maybe CJ Stroud, who's going to stay in the pocket and wants to deliver the ball from the pocket. Maybe that's kind of the guy you're describing. I'm not 100% sure. I apologize for not being able to really give you a solid answer, but I'm not really sure exactly who you're describing, who that guy would be. I don't really look at any quarterback in the draft and be like, oh, that's a yes man, right? I mean, it's just, I guess that's a weird title to have for an NFL quarterback, but we'll see, right? I mean, I know that he wants someone who's going to understand what he wants to do and be able to execute the game plan, but I don't know. Maybe I'm getting caught up on yes man, and I can't figure out exactly where you want to go with that. But thank you for the call. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Raider B in Connecticut. Hey Q, Raider B from Connecticut again. Just wanted to give my thoughts on the quarterback spot and acquiring Lamar Jackson. I like the idea. Two first rounders, that's a no-brainer. Just wondering what the dynamic between him and McDaniels would be. He's kind of a cowboy and plays off script. There's also reports that Stafford could be available for a third-round pick. Are you buying or selling? Is he better option than Jimmy G? Also, you mentioned defensive tackle and edge. What are your thoughts on Van Ness as a hybrid and eventually take a Jones place opposite Max in the future? It'll be interesting to see how free agency unfolds in the days and the weeks that are all. That's all for now. Thanks again. Raider B out. Just win, baby. That's Raider B in Connecticut. Thanks for the text. And yeah, I'm not real high on Stafford. I never have been. I thought him and Carr were very similar to each other. He just ended up in L.A. and found a way to win a ring, but I didn't think that Stafford was all that. So And I think on top of that, he's injury prone. A matter of fact, he's injured right now. I don't know even if he's going to play next year because he might end up retiring with the injuries to his back that he's had. It sounds like a pretty serious back injury. I think that's why Baker Mayfield's going to end up back in L.A. with the Rams because they're going to kind of hold on to him just in case Matt Stafford's not able to return. So I wouldn't make a trade for him. As far as defensive tackle and edge, yeah, I think that all options should be on the table, including Van Ness, right? I think that the Raiders need to address the defensive line. They need to get a guy that can get some push in the middle. They need to get someone that can be opposite of Max, but they do need to get both, right? I mean, having a hybrid is good, but at the end of the day, you need both, right? Because that's what ultimately is going to help out. Max is going to give you maximum effort every single time. Chandler gives you effort. He's just not getting home as much as he normally would in his earlier in his career. He's getting a little bit older. I don't know if that's the Chandler Jones you're going to see moving forward, 4.5 to 5 sacks a season, or if he's going to have a bounce back season. But I really don't want the Raiders to take a chance. I'd like to see them go ahead and get a couple guys that can bring the heat and be able to make Chandler Jones as a guy who's like a situational pass rusher instead of a guy that's really needed more times than not. But thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. And free agency will be interesting next week. Up next, got a call from Army Raider. He's calling to talk about the Raiders offseason and how it pertains to the quarterback position. Here he is, Army Raider.
What's up, Q? It's your boy, Army Raider. Just have some thoughts, man, on this offseason that are really kind of bugging me. So it looks like the Raiders' goal at quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Stidham, or a rookie. How can you have the offensive weapons the Raiders do and go into a straight-up rebuild mode? Jimmy G's worse than Carr, so why get rid of Carr if you're just going to go after that? That dude's straight-up trash, and he's injured. Also, this is what I was worried about when the Raiders went after the Patriots. They always think they're the best way to do it. And guess what? Not a single one of them cats, to include Bill Belichick, got success outside of Tom Brady. So again, tell me why. Why are we going into this year getting rid of Carr, who I was all for getting rid of if you're going to upgrade, but Jimmy G, Jared Stidham, or a rookie aren't an upgrade. Let's just be real. I mean, they're going to probably end up going and getting Anthony Richardson, and that dude's really fast and throw really hard, but he's not a good quarterback. So, anyways, I'm curious your thoughts. I feel like this is going to be another rebuild year. They tore it down. We got duped trying to follow the Patriot way, and so far, GM and coach have both been, you know, kind of a bust to me. Anyways, curious to get your thoughts. Army Raider out.
Army Raider, thanks for the call. Thank you for your service as well. I definitely appreciate that and appreciate you. And yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like when it's all said and done, man. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the thing about it. We really don't know. We could always go back and say, well, this is what they did in New England. This is what the guys say they're looking for. But until we actually see it executed, especially with the Raiders having 11 total draft picks, I mean, there's a chance that they go into this draft and they can absolutely kill it. They can come out with 3 or 4 starters. And that's ideally what you'd like to come out of the draft with anyway. But if you have 11 draft picks, you have an opportunity to move around. You have an opportunity to move up and target certain guys or move back and say, you know what? There's a couple of our guys sitting here. Let's go and get a couple more draft picks. They could turn things around fast, right? With all that draft capital, you can get a lot of talent and all of a sudden get back into the mix quick, fast, in a hurry. So I don't think that we can judge this staff just yet. It's been a small sample size of what they've been able to do. And Dave Ziegler last season didn't have all the draft capital that he needed because he made the move for Davante Adams, which, oh, by the way, let's not forget about that move. That was a hell of a move, right? Nobody saw the move coming. I know there was rumblings here and there, but for the most part, everyone thought that there was no chance Davante Adams, at least I didn't think there was a chance Davante Adams would end up being a Raider, and lo and behold, here he is. So I think Dave Ziegler has done actually a pretty good job, but it was a small sample size. So now with a whole plethora of draft capital, and you know about $40 million in salary cap space going into next week. Let's see how he puts this together. Let's give these guys a chance. I mean, we really don't have any option. They're going to be around next year for sure. And they really, what I saw and what I heard when we were in Indianapolis at the combine, they sound very confident in their job. So it's not like they're pressing to get a whole bunch of wins because they think that they're going to get fired. They sound very comfortable. So I don't think that they're going anywhere anytime soon unless they completely just piss the bed. But we'll see. So thank you so much. And again, like I said, thank you for your service. Definitely appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Jason from Idaho. He says, hey, Q, Jason from Idaho, on the quarterback situation, I'm 100% with you on Jimmy G, hoping someone else offers him the bag. Hear me out on this one. Sometimes you need to step up to the plate and swing for the fences. That would be Richardson. Let's go get the next Lamar, Mahomes. The best time to swing for the fences is when you're okay with the miss. That said, if for some reason he's a complete miss, which I don't believe, but if so, next year we're sitting in the position to get Caleb Williams. Stop playing safe and going after he's okay or might be okay. Go after elite, electric. Let's go. It's time for a change. Show me something, McDaniels and Ziegler, because I'm not impressed. Raiders for life. This is Jason from Idaho. He brings up a good point. Anthony Richardson, that would be swinging for the fences. Hell, Will Levis would be swinging for the fences, right? So, you know, what I always say, scare money, don't make money. I'm also not a guy who gambles very often. You know, I step up to the slot machine. I play triple, double, diamond. I press the button and I wish for the best. There ain't no skill involved, right? So I don't, you know, like I said, scare money, don't make money. I don't roll the dice too much. So we'll see. That's just me. But you bring up a good point. You know, if you're going to compete with Mahomes, Herbert, you got Burrow, obviously, in the AFC. You've got Josh Allen in the AFC. Lamar Jackson's going to be in the AFC. I mean, you're going to need a dude that can compete. If Richardson could be that guy and you can get him and sprinkle him in like I was talking about in segment number two and then at some point turn over the offense to him, that'd be awesome. As much as I don't want Jimmy G, even if you had to use Jimmy G to be the veteran, I might be okay with that. I don't want it. Like I said, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. But if it happens, it happens, because the payoff might end up being awesome if Richardson could be that guy. It's a big if. It's a big gamble. You know, it's like stepping up to that big time table and putting all your money on the table. And all of a sudden you either crap out or you come out with a big win. There's a lot of air conditioning in the desert for a reason. I'm just saying. Vegas allows you to win just enough to come back. Right. I'm just saying. So that's just me. Like I said, scare money, don't make money. And I'm definitely scared money. So thank you so much, Jason. I do appreciate you. Let's get one more call in before we wrap up the show. Raider Tone in the 661. He's calling to talk about free agency as the quarterback position goes and what he thinks needs to be done if a couple names can't be acquired. Here he is, Raider Tone in the 661.
What's up, Q? It's Raider Tone here from 661. That I've been, I'm thankful for you, man, for being so consistent and bringing so much good podcasting and insight and knowledge, man. Between the Unnecessary Roughness podcast and the Locked On Raiders, man, my NFL appetite been getting fed. Man, my take, you know, on the Raiders situation right now in the free agency, it's one or two ways with me with the quarterback. Either get fixed with a Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers. I think the Jimmy Garoppolo is a lateral movement from Carr. I'm good on that. And it's simple, man. We can't get them two names. Let's fix this defense. Plain and simple. Let's fix this defense, right? Let's add a couple of good free agents that sure fires, right? Players that's been going to different teams and staying consistent and playing. I don't want to just get an okay safety. Let's get a ball hawking. Let's get a game-changing safety, right? Chandler, Chauncey Johnson from the Eagles. Man, go look at his goodbye video he put up on Twitter. And tell me that ain't a Raider, man. Tell me that ain't a Raider. Man, that dude will get you hype, right? Not like a Chandler Jones, not like a guy who had all these stats from basically one or two games. You know, let's go get a proven free agent, like a Jesse Bates. You know, we need a top safety on that back end. We need a top safety on that back end, right? Let's grab us a solid lineman. And let's fix this defense, man. We don't get one of them two names at quarterback. Let's build that defense. All right. Just win, baby.
Raider Tone, thanks for the call, my man. I appreciate you. And, yeah, the defense needs to be addressed for sure. And, really, I think a lot of that could be done in the draft, right? I mean, the linebacker position, I think you have to address that in free agency because it's not a very deep draft when it comes to linebackers. But corners, it's deep. Defensive tackles, defensive linemen, you can get some guys. Safeties, you can get some guys. I think that a lot of the defensive side of things can be addressed in the draft, and maybe you could focus on the offensive line, Josh Jacobs, and maybe linebackers in free agency. But, you know, you got to get, at some point, you got to find your dude. Who's going to be your quarterback? You've got to find that guy. I don't know when it's going to be, who it's going to be, but at some point, you've got to get that guy. I know I said I was going to wrap up with that one, but let's go ahead and get a couple more in real quick as we close out the week strong. Here's a text from Ernie G in Dallas. Said, what up, Q? Ernie G, formerly from Inglewood, California, now living in Dallas, cowgirl country. My question is, why couldn't we at least try to lock Lamar Jackson into a long-term deal and give him the kind of guaranteed money he wants? He's only 26, so I feel like locking him up to a long-term deal would be a great idea. We have the weapons to win now. We could roll with him for the next decade instead of rolling the dice on a possible first-round quarterback bust. Only giving up pick 7 would allow us to go heavy on defense with a great D, and Lamar plus our offensive weapons could be the recipe to get that Super Bowl in our own backyard. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. Love the show, brother. Thanks for the daily updates. That's Ernie G in Dallas. And that's what I brought up Lamar Jackson to the table for, because as much as I don't think it's going to happen, as much as I think he plays in Baltimore next year, why not pick up the phone and make a call? Why not at least try? Hey, what would it cost to get Lamar Jackson just for S and giggles, right? Just what would it cost? I know what the draft capital is, 2 first round picks. All right, you get number 7 this year and whatever my first round pick is next year. All right, that's easy. What kind of money? How much is it going to cost? I know the rumors are $230, $250 million guaranteed, but what if I gave you $200 million? Just throw out a number. What if I gave you $200 million? 5 years, $200 million. You saying no to that? And if he says no, then hey, you tried. You hang up the phone and you go back to another plan. I don't think it would be a problem. I know there's, you know, certain financials that Mark Davis would have to be able to do, the Raiders organization would have to be able to do as far as guaranteed money and escrow. I get all that. But as I know from the NFL, if you want to get something done, you can get something done. So I'm with you, Ernie. I think why not pick up the phone or at least call? The worst they can say is no. I've been told no a million times in my life. I'll be told no a million more times. It don't hurt, right? It never hurts. I mean, sometimes I guess it does, but not really, right? It's not a big deal. You guaranteed to miss a shot, you don't take. Final call, Wine Country Raider. He's calling to talk about the idea threw out there about the Raiders going after Lamar Jackson. We'll close out the week strong with Wine Country Raider.
What's up, Q? It's your boy, Wine Country Raider. Just finished listening to your podcast, and man, Lamar Jackson, that is the move. I mean, 2 first rounders, some guaranteed money. He will get Raider Nation fired up. McDaniels and Zig, they're not stupid. They're gonna dip their toes in this. Anybody saying that they're completely out of this already are off their rockers. Lamar Jackson will get Raider Nation fired up. Nobody will not want to play for Lamar Jackson. Josh Jacobs is not going to bat an eye at, you know, taking a little less money. Devontae's going to want that. Darren's going to want that. Anybody will want to come to Vegas and play for Lamar Jackson. He is a baller. He's a guy who will be dialed in, focused, trying his best all game long, all season long, all off season long. He is a guy you can build your team around. He's the best option, you know, rookie. That's, you know, that's going to take some time. Lamar Jackson is the best option to go and win right now. That's my thoughts on that. I know you've already kind of hit on it, but that's just what I think. You know, you got to go try and get Lamar Jackson. We'll build the defense. We'll have plenty of picks after that. You know, let's go get Lamar Jackson. That's what we got to do. Just win, baby. Wine Country Raider out.
Thank you for the call, my man. And yeah, Lamar would be the move, right? Similar to what I was saying to Ernie G in Dallas. It's highly unlikely. I know that. But I'm with you. You pick up the phone. You make the call. You don't have to pull the trigger, but at least see what it looks like, right? There's commercials on TV every day for a reason, right? It's an advertisement. Don't mean that you buy every product, but you could at least check out the commercial, right? How many times have you walked into the store and said, man, I like those shoes, but you don't buy them? I go into the Cadillac dealership all the time. Don't tell the wife, but I go into the Cadillac dealership all the time. I don't buy the Cadillac. I look, I imagine, I dream, but I don't do it, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's called window shopping. It's okay to window shop. That's not a bad thing. So I'm with you. Thank you so much for that call. I appreciate you. I know we went a little bit long on today's show, but sometimes I go a little long on Fridays because it's Friday and I know there's not another show until Monday. So Raider Nation, enjoy the weekend. It should be a whole lot of fun. Selection Sunday is on Sunday, so you'll see where all these different teams are dancing when it comes to March Madness. I'm excited and pumped up about that. I'm actually going to be part of a real good special on ESPN on Saturday night on game night. Going to be a little Selection Sunday preview show Saturday night. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, on Monday, we'll be back. and tampering period will open up on Monday. It'll be 2 days of that. We'll find out where some of these free agents will go, and then on Wednesday the 15th, they'll actually start putting pen to paper and signing these contracts and having new teams, and we'll definitely be talking about that as well. So enjoy your weekend. Enjoy it. Relax with the family a little bit and get ready. Buckle up for a hell of a week starting next week when it comes to free agency. So until then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.